Welcome to the Improvised Wikipedia Podcast. I'm here with my friend John Lunger.
I'm here with my friend Glenn Tickle. And as always, we be rewriting the entirety of Wikipedia one page at a time off the top of our damn heads in convenient and easy to listen to podcast form because someone has to do it.
Yeah, I mean, and as far as we knew, nobody else was.
Yeah.
So here we are.
Here we are, keeping score, because we are scorekeepers, and I don't know, we've come a long way, so we might as well keep it up, right? We still have a one-page lead, Glenn. It's the narrowest of margins.
You catching up, you sneaky girl.
We don't award half points. There's no points for a tie, so we've got 16 pages. Wikipedia's got 15. We've tied 8 times, like we did last week on otters. So, I don't know. Like, I say it. I feel like I've said it, like, 3 weeks in a row now, but, like, some important sode.
It's a big one. So, we gotta get it right.
We gotta rise to the occasion.
We gotta get it right, Papa.
Five-oh.
I hope somebody suggests
an American Tale. Ugh. I doubt it. I do have a ton of suggestions, though.
Oh, good. Yeah, we've been so many. The last couple weeks. The duty cyclers have been churning out, dropping
hot, suggy jests. Thank you for doing that, by the way. If you don't already, please like Improvised Wikipedia on Facebook. We drop calls for suggestions there. And hey, have you rated us on Apple Podcasts yet?
Have I personally?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I rated my own podcast.
Oh, thanks, bud.
I did it.
I was more talking to the listeners, though.
Oh, okay.
I just made direct eye contact.
You guys should.
Yeah, leave a review, too, as long as you like this. If you don't like it, you can just fuck right off. Just don't do anything, because that would be a dick move.
Yeah, just knock it off.
Knock it off. All right, dude. I have in front of me... Oh, boy. I need a number between 1 and 39, Glenn.
Oh, boy. 39. Is this a record?
This might be the most suggestions that we've got. I didn't vet it for bits and jokes and bad suggestions, but we'll just figure that out if we land on a bad one.
I want 37.
You want 37? No.
36.
Okay, 36.
My age.
All right, friend of the show and my life partner, Allison O'Connell, has suggested that we do a page on the Lindbergh baby.
Ooh, little baby Lindbergh.
Little baby Lindy Lind. So I know like half a sentence about this. There was a baby.
Sure.
That belonged to the Lindberghs.
Yep.
And it went missing.
Yeah.
Hard stop.
Okay. So, Charles Lindbergh, famous pilot.
Yep. Aviator, I believe he would prefer.
Aviator.
But sure.
Whatever. You know, I'm all about using people's preferred terms.
Back in the day, like, that was like, this is early aviation.
Yeah.
Like, he is.
He took the Spirit of St. Louis from New York to Paris, first person to do a solo flight across the Atlantic.
Yeah, and like rock star level, like flying was not a thing, right? Like a lot of people mistakenly think that there were airports back in the colonial days.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people. I think
one specific
terrible person thought that.
Yeah. But that's incorrect. It's actually not factual. Like many things that person.
So this was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
When this happened.
The dingbat.
The president during his speech said that during the Revolutionary War, the army shut down airports.
Yeah.
Which is obviously stupid.
Yeah.
But I watched the clip and genuinely what I think happened was he read the word ramparts wrong.
Uh-huh.
Which one, he's stupid and he's not good at reading. But also two, like it was raining and he had that big weird plexiglass thing in front of him.
Right, so it's stacked up against him. He's not smart. He's an idiot.
Yeah.
He's a terrible person.
I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt
that
he misread a word.
Okay.
But if you watch the clip, he then corrects himself, says ramparts, then goes back and says, and the army shut down the airport. Like he doubled down on his mistake.
Yeah.
Rather than just being like, oh, I meant Ramparts, obviously, because everybody, every reasonable human who's not an idiot knows
right.
that there were no airports in the Revolutionary War.
Right. But, I mean, you hit on a lot of terms there that are relevant, right? Like reasonable, not an idiot.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
If you make a mistake, it's okay.
Yeah.
You can make mistakes.
Yeah, you guys have all heard me try to, like, phonetically sound out Latin names for stuff when I'm reading Wikipedia pages.
You make some mistakes.
Oh, boy.
We thought otters were rodents.
They could not be... Not. They could be less like rodents. Shut up, John. I just made a mistake.
See?
I started talking. I'm really sorry, guys. I made a mistake. It's not hard to admit. I just did it. To all you duty cyclers out there listening.
But what topic are we going to make mistakes about?
Lindbergh baby.
Today,
right?
Lindbergh baby.
So Charles Lindbergh, famous aviator. This is like rock star level
famous
person. Very famous.
He and Mrs. Lindbergh, whose name I don't know, had a baby whose name I also don't know.
Presumably conceived through natural...
Yeah, they probably did sex to each other.
Yeah, they probably like had a bone sesh and
then
a baby.
He probably got back from flying an airplane and she's like, damn, man, it's the 1920s? Not a lot of people fly those. I'm so hot for this.
Yeah, let's join the Mile High Club on the ground.
Then she jumped his bones.
And they sexed up real good.
They hugged and kissed.
And they rubbed their nether bottoms into each other.
Yep.
And then out of each other.
And then baby.
And then into each other.
And then
out of each other. And then baby.
Somebody then took that baby. Somebody snatched that baby right up.
Someone was like, hey, guys, look over there. It's a river otter eating a bird. That's unusual.
Ooh, they only usually rarely sample those.
Whoops, snatch that baby.
Snatch the baby
right up.
Now, my grandfather.
Did it.
Grandpa Charles Kentheimer kidnapped the Lindbergh baby. I don't think he ever took lessons to be a pilot, but was big fan going up in there.
Yeah, just an aviation enthusiast.
So he was a young man.
He was a young flyboy
in the time of the big Lindbergh hype. Loved it.
I think it was called the Great Baby Caper.
Yep. So he would frequently tell me the story of his first airplane ride. So he would like save up pennies, and this is a long time ago. You could just go to an airport, and pilots would be like just there, and you'd be like, "If I give you 5 cents, can I fly on your airplane for a little bit?" And they'd be like, "Hop in, man!" And they would just take you around town for a little bit, and then they'd land you.
What a magical time!
And so he would do this a lot as a kid.
Right, because back then, planes were fucking crazy, and it was more like an amusement park ride than what we know today.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not just the huge inconvenience that it is now.
Right.
It was exciting, and he loved it. Even as an adult, like, loved going on air. Like, anytime I get to fly anywhere, loved it. But he talked about Charles Lindbergh a lot, and he mentioned the kidnapping, confessed to it, and he's in jail now. no, my grandfather did not. I mean,
we don't know.
I don't know.
We don't know.
I don't think my
seed
grandfather.
Seed of doubt.
I can't prove that my grandfather didn't kidnap the Lindbergh baby, but he talked about it an awful lot.
I wonder why. Sounds like a guilty conscience.
And I never asked.
No, you were a dumb kid.
He kept bringing it up.
You didn't know any better.
Maybe he just needed to get it off his chest.
Yeah, he was pouring his heart and soul out to you,
yeah.
Confessing that he was behind the Great Baby Caper.
He would just be like, oh, so you know how sometimes you do crimes? Let's change the subject. So Charles Lindbergh had a baby, and then somebody done took that baby.
Yeah, someone done took that baby, and it was international news. This is fucking
huge
headlines. Newspapers are just spiraling into frame, and there's just showing headlines of the Great Baby Caper.
Great Baby Caper, Lindbergh baby, little baby Lindy. I'm pretty sure it was their son.
Yeah, Lindy Lindbergh.
I don't remember the name. So Lindy Lindbergh.
Little Lindy Lindbergh.
Somebody done took that baby, left a ransom note.
Yep.
Because, you know, you got to get that money.
Dear policeman, you should have found me by now. I gave you all the clues. Little snowman.
Yeah. Man, I love making jokes about that poster.
Yeah.
But I don't think enough people saw the movie for like the jokes to land.
Yeah, no.
Like my daughter left me a note the other day because she wanted to play a game where like she left clues around our house.
Mm-hmm.
And I put a picture of the note next to the text from that poster mm-hmm. on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And because she sounded like a serial killer in the note because she's six and has serial killer handwriting. And it didn't get the response I was anticipating.
I didn't see it or I would have loved it.
But I didn't see that movie. I have no intention of ever watching the movie, but yeah. I love that poster. It's fun to make jokes about.
I think I started watching it and I was like, there's no way that this pays off nearly as much as I need it to.
Yeah,
even
no,
if
it
wasn't
stupid.
It wasn't bad enough to be good.
Sure.
You know? Like it was just like, ugh, this thing's pretentious and takes itself way too seriously. And I need it to be badder.
Yeah.
So
there's gotta have been movies about the Lindbergh baby.
Oh, so many, no doubt.
Because there were movies about Charles Lindbergh.
Right.
Notably,
well,
I believe
this is like tabloid fodder. This is like
the big one. I think it was called The Spirit of St. Louis. I think it was about Lindbergh and the transcontinental flight.
Probably.
So
like he's raking in the bucks because he flew over the Atlantic, right?
You got to assume, so right? He's got
like that Nike sponsorship. He's
getting Gatorade deals.
Yeah, he's got that sweet. He's got a custom vape pen that he's hustling.
Do you want to hear my Lindbergh Gatorade pitch?
I do.
When you're flying over the Atlantic Ocean, you gotta piss. Piss in a Gatorade bottle.
Why wouldn't you just piss out the window?
Because how?
Open the window and piss out of it.
So pretty small aircraft at the time.
Okay, I don't know. I wasn't.
And they
there.
Don't. It's not.
I mean, your
like,
grandfather stole the baby, so you know more about it than
like,
I do.
Roll down the window of an airplane.
And these you can roll down the window of anything if you put your mind to it.
These were early aircraft, so you weren't getting terribly high in the sky, but you do need that.
I can fly high in the sky, baby.
My best friend growing up in middle school and high school is a pilot, and when you get your pilot's license, like so you just got to log hours in a plane.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we'd be hanging out, and he's like, "Let's go fly somewhere."
Right. It's so, like their version of open mics.
Yeah. We would just like jump in the plane and we'd fly places. And one time, so we're flying and it's a 2-seater plane. It might have been two or four seats, small single prop engine plane. And at one point we realized, oh, my seatbelt is stuck in the door and part of it's kind of hanging out because I guess he was having problems getting the right altitude to hold.
Huh. So just open the door, pull the thing back in like a car, right?
The problem is you're going so fast.
Okay.
You can't open the door because of the air pressure outside.
Yeah, I feel like you're just
as you're
maybe
moving through the air.
Maybe
so what he had to
limp-wristed
do
nerd
was slow the plane down enough for me to be able to push the door open get the seatbelt.
So it's an early airplane. It probably went slower anyways. Piss out the window.
I mean, it wasn't a 1920s. It was just a smaller plane. But so
let me have this.
So he slowed down the plane. So we're basically gliding so that I could force the door open enough to get the seatbelt in and then slam it shut and then go back to the right altitude so we didn't crash.
Okay, cool.
But if I had to piss, I couldn't get the door open and get my...
If Bane can break a plane in half,
I'm not
in
Bane.
Mid-air.
How dare you? I'm no filthy Venom junkie.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you might be. They're all legally prescribed, but that doesn't make it any better.
Do you think somebody prescribed Bane Venom?
Yeah. You know how like Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys had that crazy therapist who it's probably like that. Like Bane just got in with a bad
primary
care doctor.
That is kind of how they took the character in the third Dark Knight movie.
Yeah,
where he went from like brilliant villain mastermind to just
like
pet. Little lackey,
little lackey pet.
I liked that movie. I know a lot
so
of
did
people
I.
didn't. I did not like that part of it.
Right.
Punks. I mean, it's a move up from the Batman and Robin Bane.
Oh,
for
no
sure
doubt.
Or Batman Forever.
Yeah,
Batman and Robin.
Batman
Yeah.
Which Batman one was Forever Mr. Freeze was, and...
That was Batman and Robin was Mr. Freeze. And
yeah. Yeah, so then it was Batman
and
Forever.
Bane is like a literal dumb, non-speaking henchman.
Right. Like that first Deadpool.
Yeah.
The Lindbergh baby. The Lindbergh baby.
So they got a ransom note.
Yeah.
I don't think they got that baby back.
I don't think anybody ever found the baby.
I don't think they got that baby again.
I don't think the baby came back.
There is like a conspiracy theory about it.
Yeah.
That there was no kidnapping.
Really?
That like the baby fell out a window.
Yeah, but that's not, we've already talked about that. You're moving too fast. You can't open the window to drop that baby out.
He brought the baby on the Spirit of St. Louis, and while he's going to France, just, oh, oops, baby fell out in the ocean.
Yeah, sea otters snacked it right up because they're carnivorous.
I might be conflating this with another story, but so...
I don't know. It all seems pretty reasonable right
second
now.
Story of the house is the nursery.
Okay.
You got a crib in there for a little baby.
No, you're thinking of the hand that rocks the cradle.
I think the baby might have... One, the conspiracy theory that I'm thinking of is baby fell out of the window. And then to cover it up...
Game of Thrones style.
And not look like
terrible.
Bad parents.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They wrote a fake ransom note.
That's horrible if it's true.
It's horrible no matter what. Even if we're wrong and they got the baby back.
Yeah.
But I don't think they did because I think it continued to be this big tabloid thing for years. Because they'd be like, oh, young man arrives in New York, claims to be the Lindbergh baby.
Right, right, right. Huh. Who did your grandfather think was the Lindbergh baby?
Maybe he was the Lindbergh baby?
Oh, dang. Does that timeline work?
No, almost certainly not.
It's too bad.
What if you 23'd and me yourself, and they're like, you're the Lindbergh baby.
Me? Personally, yeah. John Longer? What if I did that? The timeline doesn't work out.
Well,
I was born in the early 80s.
What year do we think Lindbergh baby went away?
31.
31? Seems as plausible as any other year.
Is this... Wait, hold on. This is... Yeah, this would be a pre-World War II.
I feel like, yeah. Yeah, because World War II is when they... that's when the Air Force kicked off, I believe.
Right. So, yeah, sure.
So, aviation was pretty well established at that point.
Yeah, I'd say 31.
Sure.
I wonder if Allie's going to be so disappointed with me...
For not being the Lindbergh baby?
Well, no, she knows I'm not. I just mean, like,
does
this is
she?
Her suggestion. She's a big fan of history. We're failing miserably.
I don't think we're doing great.
No, like, we got, like, maybe two solid sentences that I feel confident about.
Yeah.
And then an elaborate backstory about your grandpa. I don't know. I don't know.
Grandpa citation needed? You think? I'm trying to think of what else we can get in there. 31, I don't think the baby recovered. I think I'm right about that conspiracy theory. There's probably others.
Right, because like, I think the thing that I was aware of when I was pretty young was the concept of so-and-so claims to be the Lindbergh baby. Like that was a thing. Because
that carried on
probably
for a
referenced
while.
In like cartoons when I was growing up.
Yeah,
even.
That was a real thing. So like in Looney Tunes in particular, they would like reference... It would be like cultural references.
Yeah, some big swings. Like,
but
like if we elected a human being dumb enough to think that aviation was a thing during the Revolutionary War.
Sure.
Looney Tunes would reference that.
But there would be like Humphrey Bogart would get drawn into like a Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way that even as a little kid, I'm like, I'm supposed to know who that is.
Right.
But I don't because I'm seven or whatever. I know now who Humphrey Bogart is.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, Glenn. I happen to be standing outside of the studio. Heard you talking about me.
Oh, shit, Bogey.
Hey, what's up?
Big fan.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What's your favorite piece of my art?
Maltese Falcon's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Real whodunit.
I don't want to say Casablanca because I feel like that's the one you get all the time.
It's all right.
But it's a good one.
You know, I was around for that hype of the Lindbergh baby.
Yeah, I feel like you probably got called in on that.
Oh, many a meetings with many a suits from many a different law enforcement agency, both public and clandestine.
You gotta think, like, there's some speculative fiction out there where movie stars from the 30s assemble a team to try to find the Lindbergh baby, right?
Oh, it's not speculative, Glenn. We did it. One of the best kept secrets in all.
Who else? So who's your Ocean's 11 there, bud?
Oh, I've been sworn to secrecy, and the fact that I came here from beyond the grave.
Right, I mean, you're telling about it now. What do you think's going to happen? Everybody would have done it's already dead.
That's a good point, but
You goofed it. You didn't find that baby, so
yeah, I don't want to really brag about our failure.
Let's spill the name two people. You know,
honestly, it was mostly me and the Rat Pack. If I'm being honest, that we were the ones putting in the work.
Sure.
It was a real Scooby-Doo-like situation.
See, yeah, I like that. That sounds fun to me.
It was.
I mean, it's still kind of a bummer because you didn't find that baby. But
we did not. We found a lot of old men wearing baby masks that we...
It's a different
we uncovered. We pulled that mask off and we're like, oh, it's old man Jenkinson.
See? I was trying to be the Lindbergh baby.
Yeah, it was not Lindy. Oh, Lindy was a good guy, though. Liked the plane real good.
He did like airplanes a lot.
Oh, he loved airplanes. They were.
I wonder, was he one of those people who's like, looking back now, everyone's like, oh, he was a monster.
Oh, for sure, we all were. I'm a terrible person, too.
Like Bing Crosby. Bing Crosby. Ugh. Oh,
but he could sing.
Not even that good.
Huh?
I like a lot, like...
He was very sleepy.
I'm a 36-year-old man here in the year 2019.
Right. I'm a ghost.
You're a ghost. I like a lot of things from your time period.
Oh, like what? Specifically, name.
Your
name,
movies.
Name.
Not to, like, kiss your butt because you're a ghost
fine.
Here.
You can't kiss my butt. I'm non-corporeal.
That's a good point. I do like a lot of your movie work.
Okay, thank you.
Particularly, I like the Casablanca, the part where you tell the Nazis that there's parts of New York you suggest that you recommend they don't try to invade.
Right.
Great line.
Oh.
I butchered it just now, but...
It's okay.
I mean, you knew.
Oh, I still know it to this day. I'll never say it again, though. Swore on my deathbed. Never going to say those lines ever again.
African Queen. It's a good one.
Oh, it's a good one.
But I do... Like, I listen to a lot of Rat Pack music and a lot of movies from your time period.
It was a simpler time where we all did horrible, horrible things.
Yeah.
But most people didn't find out about them. That's the difference between then and now.
That's the difference. You guys didn't have the internet and social media blowing up everybody's spot.
It was very easy to do crime. We'd all get around together. We'd be like, hey, boys, gather around. Gather around, everyone. Let's do some crime. And we would, and no one would say anything, and no one was the wiser. It was a simpler time, but damn me if we didn't ever find that baby.
So you didn't find the baby, but...
No.
Looking back on the case and what you knew about it.
Right.
Who do you think took that baby?
Who I think took that baby?
Who do you think took that baby? Did you have any like leads that you thought were going to pay off and then there was no definitive evidence and you just thought like...
I did. I know exactly where you're going with this and I got to tell you, I had a very unpopular theory, but I stand by it to this very day. That baby pulled the whole thing off itself.
Ooh, faked its own death.
Faked its own kidnapping.
Smart.
Oh.
Get that money.
It was an above average child. Had
now
great
that's
lineage.
When you look at, you know, rich families and inheritances and stuff, like that's been a plot point in some stories over the years. People faking a death or a kidnapping to skew an inheritance one way or another, right?
This was more of a...
You fake your own kidnapping to get ransom from your parents so you don't have to answer them anymore, but you still get their money.
Right.
Know?
It was a little bit of that kind of child emancipation type thing. This was a smart baby. This was like a Stewie Griffin situation, if you're familiar with that Family Guy thing.
I am. I'm surprised you are.
Oh, we have Netflix in hell.
In hell.
Oh, yeah. I was a terrible person. I took lots of secrets to the grave.
Sounds like it.
Oh, so many. Do you ever drink wine out of a human skull?
I have not. No.
I have.
That sounds so believable.
It
It's also very messy. There's lots of holes.
Yeah,
it's a porous,
it's
a porous situation.
Unless you do like just the top part.
I didn't. It was I mean, you want the whole. You need. Otherwise, it's just like you're drinking out of a bowl.
Yeah,
like, just get a bowl and drink wine. I want the eye sockets and the nose cap. It's a whole thing. You
You're just gonna make a mess there, Bogey.
It is. It is. So I'm not really much help. I never. I could give you a list of places I looked.
Well, let's hear a couple.
Well, for a brief moment in time, I thought that the Lindbergh baby might be connected to the Loch Ness Monster phenomenon.
So the babe.
The baby builds an elaborate submarine that was shaped like a sea creature.
Okay, so the baby pulled off the Loch Ness hoax.
But that turned out to be a red herring, like much like communism.
Do you think maybe the Loch Ness Monster is real and stole the baby?
I mean, that's impossible.
Yeah, I don't. The Loch Ness Monster is not real.
Yeah,
right.
No, I don't. I don't think that.
How would it get to the second story? It's a giant plesiosaur, you know.
Oh, you know what? I don't know if you know this. Plesiosaurs have very long necks.
Yeah, but they're aquatic.
Right, but it could just pop that neck out like in that photo.
Snatch
that
could,
baby up like a river otter pulling a sparrow out of midair and cracking it open
worm?
On its belly while it's floating.
Gonna do the worm through town?
It's more of like a little wiggle. You know how they proved that the Easter Island statues could be moved just by
yeah,
wiggling?
I do know that happens? Yeah.
Okay, so just picture that with a giant plesiosaur, right? Yeah, so it's just kind of rutching its way across the countryside to get old Lindy's baby.
Where did this happen, do you think? I mean, you were there, you know. Where was the Lindbergh baby snatched from?
That's a great question. I honestly, I don't remember. It's been so long.
Long Island?
I mean, probably one
where
of
Where do they go? Where do they live in ragtime?
Where do they live in ragtime?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
The book and movie and musical.
Not a fan. Not didn't see it. Don't know. Don't get the reference point.
They live somewhere in New York State, and then they like vacation to Atlantic City. And they go into Manhattan for events. But I'm trying to remember where they live. It seems like a...
Poughkeepsie?
Somewhere like that. Like a rich people of the time period place.
It's possible it was in the Hamptons.
It might have been.
Always been happening in those Hamptons.
Somewhere in New York State.
Did you ever fuck a human skull in the Hamptons?
No.
I have.
Oh, Bogey.
When you're famous like me, you just gotta throw your genitals on stuff.
I guess, but it's, you know, that's kind of frowned upon.
Oh, it was frowned upon back then, too.
Yeah, I don't mean just now. I mean, people didn't
like
it then either.
Hey, guys, gather up the French, do some crime and genital stuff. And then we do it.
See? We have a hard time watching and enjoying your movies from now on, Pokemon.
I apologize for that.
Have a...
Well, I gotta get going. I gotta get back to hell. Thanks for having me.
Have a great time in hell, I guess, friend. Don't do any more weird skull stuff.
Glenn, who are you talking to? I stepped out to go to the bathroom.
I was talking to the ghost of Humphrey Bogart.
What medicine are you on?
A lot of different kinds at once.
All right. Well, would you want to pick it up where we left off, or do
you
want to take a break? What do you want to do?
We'll take a break, and then we can check back in on how we did with the Lindbergh baby.
All right. Hey, friends. It's me, John Lunger, here with Glenn Tickle at the Improvised Wikipedia Podcast Studios, here to tell you about another one of our amazing partners that makes all of this possible.
John, I'm also here.
I said that. Oh. I introduced you.
I missed that part.
Glenn, you weren't... You gotta start listening to me, pal.
It's hard to do.
Yeah, I got you. Well, it is our distinct pleasure to tell you about this week's sponsor, Glass.
Hell yeah, Glass. You got bad eyeballs? Slap some glass in front of them. Fix that shit right up. Glass.
Do you have a hole in the side of your house that's not a door? Seal it off with some glass.
Glass, do you want to be largely responsible for a big part of the economy in Corning, New York? Glass.
Got some liquids you need to pour into something? Why not grab a glass?
Ooh, do you want to be a little piece of something that's jammed in my foot for about a week now that I cannot get out and is quite painful? Glass.
Oh my God, you're like the real John McClane.
Yeah,
It's not fun.
No, you should go to, you should get that taken care of, bud.
I keep trying to. It's a little piece, and I can't see it because it's clear.
Ooh.
So every time I try to get it out, then it gets to the point where like my that area is just sore from like tweezing at it and poking and stuff, so I can't tell.
Ugh.
And yeah, it's still in there.
I'm so sorry.
It's rough.
Glass is great. We love glass.
Yeah, don't put it in your foot, but it's good at other things.
Use promo code ImprovWikiPod at checkout to save 10%. All right, we're back. So there's not really a Lindbergh baby page, but there is a page on the Lindbergh kidnapping, which is
okay,
clearly
obviously,
what we were...
obviously what was being referenced.
Yeah, it's a pretty beefy page.
Beefy boy!
I mean, yeah. And I gotta tell you, I don't think we're gonna win this one, Glenn. But
well, I don't think we did a good job to begin with.
No, and apparently you talked to a ghost. But I am ready to learn if you want to buckle up and go on a ride.
Take me.
On March 1st, 1932, Charles Augustus Lindbergh Jr., 20-month-old son of aviator Charles Lindbergh and Anne Morrow Lindbergh, was abducted from the crib in the upper floor of his Highfields, in Highfields, East Armwell, New Jersey, United States. On May 12th, oh, God, the child's corpse was discovered by a truck driver on the side of a nearby road. In September of 1934, a German immigrant carpenter named Richard Hauptmann was arrested for the crime. After a trial that lasted from January 2nd to February 13th, 1935, he was found guilty on first-degree murder and sentenced to death. Despite his conviction, he continued to profess his innocence, but all appeals failed, and he was executed in the electric chair at the New Jersey State Prison on April 3rd, 1936. Newspaper writer H.L. Mencken called the kidnapping and trial the biggest story since the resurrection. Legal scholars have referred to the trial as one of the trials of the century, and the crime spurred Congress to pass the Federal Kidnapping Act, commonly called the Lindbergh Law, which made transporting a kidnapping victim across state lines a federal crime.
I'm going to say...
Wow, dark.
Yeah, I don't think we won, but the crime of the century is a recurring theme in ragtime, which I brought up.
Are you going to use the ragtime defense here?
A different...
when did you bring up ragtime? When I was in the bathroom?
I was talking to Bogey about it.
Jesus.
New Rochelle. That's where they live. Yeah, so the crime of the century. In the musical, there's a song, I believe, called Crime of the Century about a different case, mm-hmm. but I think a historical one. I'm just trying to get any small points I can.
I mean, we're not going to get any points here. At 7:30 p.m. on March 1st, 1932, the Lindbergh family nurse, Betty Gow, put 12-month-old Charles Jr. into his crib. Around 9:30, the baby's father, Charles, was in the library just below the baby's room when he heard a noise that he imagined to be slats breaking off of a full crate in the kitchen. Okay.
Just big old crates of food in there, Chuck? What's
I mean, he's living large. At 10 p.m., Gow discovered the child was missing from the crib. The nurse also found that the baby was not with his mother, who had just come out of the bathtub. Gow then alerted Charles Lindbergh, who immediately went into the child's room, where he found the kidnapper's ransom note in an envelope on the windowsill. The note contained bad grammar and handwriting. He then took a gun and went around the house and grounds with butler Ollie Watley, amazing name. They found impressions of the... impressions in the ground under the window of the child's room and pieces of a cleverly designed wooden ladder. They also found a baby's...
We need to be complimenting
blanket.
The ladder.
Watley telephoned the Hopewell Police Department to inform of the missing child. Lindbergh then contacted his attorney and friend Henry Breckenridge in the New Jersey State Police. Within 20 minutes, police were en route to the home. There's an actual scan. There's the ransom note picture is here. It says have, I assume that's $50,000 ready. I don't understand. Okay, it's very difficult to read. I can make out the word deliver. Oh, here's a, they have it. Okay, great. The investigation, the Hopewell Borough Police and New Jersey State Police officers conducted an extensive search of the home and its surrounding area. After midnight, a fingerprint expert examined the ransom note and the ladder. No usable fingerprints or footprints were found, leading experts to conclude that the kidnapper, wore gloves and had some type of cloth on the soles of their shoes. No adult fingerprints were found in the baby's room, including in areas witnesses admitted to touching, such as the window, but the baby's fingerprints were found. The brief handwritten ransom note was riddled with spelling mistakes and grammatical irregularities. Excuse me. I made a mistake. It's very easy to admit when you make a mistake. Dear sir, have $50,000 ready, $25,000 in $20 bills, $15,000 in $10 bills, and $10,000 in $5 bills. After 2 to 4 days, we will inform you where to deliver the money. Wow, this is bad. We warn you for making any ding public or for notify the police. The child is in gut care. I think that meant good. Indication for all letters are signature. And yeah. Okay. The bottom of the note were two interconnected blue circles surrounding a red circle with a hole punched through the red circle and two more holes to the left and right. So there's like a mark to kind of prove that it's the same people. Here's a probably an important part of this. Prominence of the case. Word of the kidnapping spread very quickly. Hundreds of people converged on the estate, destroying all the footprint evidence. Along with the police, well-connected and well-intentioned people arrived at the Lindbergh estate. Military colonels offered their aid, although only one had law enforcement expertise. Herbert Norman Schwarzkopf, the superintendent of the New Jersey State Police. Wow. The other colonels were Henry Skillman Breckinridge, a Wall Street lawyer, and William J. Donovan, a hero of the First World War, who would later take the head office of Strategic Services. Lindbergh and these men speculated that the kidnapping was perpetrated by organized crime figures. They thought that the letter was written by someone who spoke German as his native language. At this time, Charles Lindbergh used his influence to control the direction of the investigation. And there's just a whole bunch more stuff here. There's a section on the ransom payment. So the ransom payment was packaged in a wooden box that was custom made in the hope that it could be later identified. The ransom money included a number of gold certificates which were about to be withdrawn from circulation, and it was hoped that this would draw attention to anyone spending them. The bills were not marked, but the serial numbers were recorded. Some sources credit the idea to Frank J. Wilson and others to Elmer Lincoln Irie. On April 2nd, Condon was given a note by an intermediary, an unknown cab driver. Condon met, quote, John, and told him that they had been able to raise only $50,000. The man accepted the money and gave Condon a note saying that the child was in the care of two innocent women. And then goes on to discovery of the body. I really don't want to read the rest of this. This is really awful. Should I jump to the alternate theories section?
Yeah.
Okay. A number of books have asserted of Hampton's innocence, generally highlighting an inadequate police work at the crime scene, Lindbergh's interference in the investigation, and the ineffectiveness of Hauptmann's counsel and weakness in witnesses and physical evidence. Ludwig Kennedy, in particular, questioned much of the evidence, such as the origin of the ladder and the testimony of many of the witnesses. According to author Lloyd Gardner, a fingerprint expert, Dr. Erastus Mead Huston applied the then-rare silver nitrate fingerprint process to the ladder and did not find Hauptmann's fingerprints, even in places that the marker of the ladder must have been touched. Maker of the ladder, excuse me. Jim Fisher, a former FBI agent and professor at Edinburgh University of Pennsylvania, has written two books.
Hey, I've done shows there. What's up, Edinburgh?
And he summarizes that today the Lindbergh phenomenon is a giant hoax perpetrated by people who are taking advantage of an uninformed and cynical public. Notwithstanding all the books, TV programs, and legal suits, Hauptmann is as guilty today as he was in 1932 when he kidnapped and killed the son of Mr. and Mrs. Charles Lindbergh.
Bold stance.
All right. So then I'm really excited to tell you about this next section, Glenn. As much of a downer as that is, we finally found a Wikipedia page that has a section called In Popular Culture.
Yeah, see? Yeah. Finally, after over a year, we stumble across the thing that from the jump we're like, oh, yeah, this is definitely in a lot of them.
Yeah. So there's a section on novels, a section on film and television, a section on music, a section on theater, and a note about a video game. Novels, some of the greatest hits here would be Agatha Christie was inspired by a number of the circumstances she incorporated in Murder on the Orient Express. Thomas Tryon's novel, The Other. Maurice Sendak's book, Outside Over There. The novel Blaze by Stephen King, under his pseudonym of Richard Bachman, is loosely based on the Lindbergh kidnapping. The Aviator's Wife by Melanie Benjamin is a work of historical fiction told from the perspective of Anne Morrow Lindbergh. Okay, film and television. Anthony Hopkins played the role of Bruno Hauptmann in the Lindbergh kidnapping case in 1976 for a television movie. The Simpsons episode Mother Simpson, Abe Simpson claims to be the Lindbergh baby. Maybe that's the reference that I remember. The Lindbergh kidnapping was the subject of a 1996 Golden Globe and Emmy-nominated TV movie titled Crime of the Century. It was a Family Guy episode, an American Dad episode. It's referenced in the short-lived TV show Fringe. The Clint Eastwood-directed film J. Edgar includes references to the kidnapping. In 2013, PBS aired an episode of Nova called Who Killed the Lindbergh Baby that featured forensics experts and all sorts of other stuff. It's a lot of stuff. I don't care about any of that stuff. There's a video game called Thimbleweed Park, which contains a character that confesses to the kidnapping.
Well, when you said video game, I was genuinely concerned there was going to be a game where you, like, kidnap the Lindbergh baby.
Right. No, this is a point-and-click adventure game for basically any system called Thimbleweed Park.
What year?
2017. It is... was a Kickstarter-fueled game. It's meant to be a spiritual successor to Maniac Mansion.
And I mean, Day of the Tentacle was the... successor to Maniac Mansion.
That's what I'm telling you, bud. So that's it. I mean, we lost.
Yeah, clearly.
Like, clearly we lost. And Allie, thanks for suggesting such a devastating story for us to learn about.
Yeah, jeez. Make us take a loss and bum us out.
Yeah. I don't think it's appropriate for us to leave a fake fact on this page. That feels not like something I want to do.
We should probably skip it this time, I think.
I guess maybe to just wrap things up, since I missed it while I was peeing, what was Bogey like?
Turns out, kind of a monster. Really? Love doing stuff with skulls.
Huh. I believe that, though.
Yeah, it kind of tracks. Hmm. Well, wish he didn't, though.
All right, we're all tied up. We've lost 16 times, but we've also won 16 times, so that's still pretty good.
It's all right. We could.
It's all right. We're going to come back with a vengeance next week, Glenn. I feel it in my bones. I feel it in my bones, buddy.
I want you to feel it in your bones. One of the best places to feel things.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, Duty Cyclers. Allie, thanks for that gut-wrenching story that we all learned about. But remember to subscribe to our podcast, to tell six people that you know about our podcast, to rate.
Or the Mole Men will get you.
Yeah, or we're going to send the Mole Men after you. Glenn, let's wrap this up so you and I can have a real conversation about your hallucinations.
What was that?
That was my text message.
Oh. So was that, apparently. You're a popular boy right now.
Bye.
Bye.